of tour pilot.
Yeah, the spiel's so nice, I'm doing it twice. Now it's theme party. It is officially, according to the clock in front of me, 9:04 p.m. on a Friday evening. Tonight, as I said just a few minutes ago, but I'm repeating now for the benefit of those who will be downloading this show later. I'm now recording, incidentally. Tonight, I'm really, really excited to have Chisholm Worthington in the studio. We will have many performances from him coming up very, very shortly. In addition, I have new music that I'm very excited about, including a song in tribute to a mouse, a French cabaret artist, another French cabaret. You know, I'm going to play a lot of French language stuff tonight. I can feel it in my bones. But first, I'm going to let Gilbert and Sullivan continue. I'd like to remind everybody listening that you can IM us in approximately 1 minute. You'll be able to IM us. Our instant message ID is Theme Party Radio. As always, that's AOL Instant Messenger, by the way. As always, you can join our mailing list by sending an email to themeparty@gmail.com. You can go to our MySpace, which is myspace.com/themepartyradio. Now sit back, relax, and strap on your seatbelt. You ain't never been on a ride like this before with a producer who can rap and sing Gilbert and Sullivan from book to book.
So I used my one phone call to dedicate a song to you on the radio. Yeah, I got busted. In custody, I imagined our melody being played on a grand piano. I saw your face in front of me. It was perfect clarity. saw a light in the end of the tunnel. And it was you, 'cause you are the light by which I traveled into. They said that you are the light, you are the light by which I traveled into. Yeah, I got busted. I painted a dirty word on your old man's Mercedes Benz, 'cause you told me to do it. Yeah, I got busted, but soon they released me 'cause the cops were sad. They didn't know how to prove it. Oh, I saw your face in front of me. It was perfect clarity. I saw a light in the end of the tunnel. And it was you, 'cause you are the light by which I travel into. This end that you are the light. You are the light. It's all so obvious, so obvious. Why would anyone need a map or a compass? It's so beautiful to be guided by you, 'cause you are the light. You are the light by which I travel into. It's all that you are the light.
At my door, furry small and white, I shook you by the paw. 'Cause I like you, my friend, I respect you, my friend, I'll encourage you, my friend, through and through. Hey now, little mouse, I hope we understand one another. Hey now, little mouse, show me what to do. Rode on, we shared a hearty meal and talked of many things, of scimitars and shields. I'll protect you, my friend, I'll defend you, my friend, I will fight for you, my friend, till I die.
Can't you see? It was meant to be. Yeah.
And that was pretty awesome. I had to come out of Bobby Brown for a second. Not that I don't love Bobby Brown. He is my god. And ever since Whitney Houston left him, I felt really sorry for him. Poor guy. Hi, guys. It's Theme Party.
Hey.
Okay. Briefly, let me bring you back up to speed in what we've been listening to for a while. The last song you heard was Most, not quite all, of On Our Own by Bobby Brown from the Ghostbusters 2 soundtrack. Really the only thing good about that movie. If you think about it, that movie really didn't need to exist, but I'm glad it did, if only for that song. And before that, I played a song that I'm going to mispronounce, and I apologize to Sweden for this. It's Oj Vilket Liv. It's Swedish for something. And the song is the first song off Komeda's debut album from 1995 called Pops Va Svenska, which is Swedish for pop in Swedish. And then before that, I played a brief song by Pine AM called Pull the Rabbit Ears, accidentally mixed together briefly with More Than You Know by Prince Paul. I'd like to say that was on purpose. Before that, Kinky Peanuts by Armando Travioli. And before that, I played Jack Morgan, Little Mouse, which is actually a song from a present I got for DJ Ooze for Jesus, that she'll understand the context of it when she finally gets to watch the present I bought for her. That's all. I'm proud of myself for buying her a present. Anyway, for those of you who don't know, it's from a television show called Look Around You. That was on BBC a few years back. That is genius. And the whole premise of the show is that it's fake. It's supposed to be archival footage of 1970s and early 80s educational films that of the sort you would watch in high school or junior college. And you're supposedly following along with your textbook during the episode. And it's got pretty much, like, if you've watched any like thing like Spaced or Peep Show or that Webb and Mitchell look, or really any of the British comedy shows of the last like 5-6 years. I think there's even a couple of like crappy Little Britain people on it. I said it, Little Britain sucks my balls. It's not funny. It's nothing but catchphrases. It's lame. Anyway, pretty much everyone's involved in it. It's very funny. And that song was from the music episode. And then You Are the Light by Jens Lekman before that. And as always, this is Theme Party. And we have in us with the studio right now Chisholm Worthington, sir.
Hello.
Well met, sir. How are you?
Great. It's great to be here on your television show.
Thank you. This is a special kind of television, though. It uses the power of imagination to create pictures.
Well, we used to have the webcam, but yeah, that went away.
No, this is imaginary. This is using telepathy and clairvoyance.
Okay, I misunderstood. I thought this was a television show.
No, that we are filming this later for posterity, though. I'm very sorry about that. Well, I did lie to you. I apologize for that.
Well, you know.
No, I need to apologize. The fact is, I knew you wouldn't come unless there was a television camera.
Can somebody get the phone, please?
Who is calling? Why would you call me now?
Hey,
I'm not answering the phone. Okay, I'm going to answer this phone. And whoever it is going to suffer. Yeah, Theme Party, can I help you? I'm sorry, what? Yeah,
no, we didn't.
Why would somebody call?
No, we didn't order 15 pizzas. No.
Why? You know I'm too busy right now. Damn, ladies, leave me alone. There's enough for me to go around, but you're going to have to wait till 11.
Who was it?
Some bitch that won't leave me alone, ho. I'm sorry, you're not a hoe. I just want to pretend. You know what I missed this week? What I didn't do and I regret is the second I heard about this white trash astronaut story, I didn't send an email out to all my friends saying, yeah, tap that, astronauts. Although I did the next day, reminding my friends that I should have told the joke the day before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're walking around this week and you're thinking about it, see, this is the problem with NASA. They put their offices in Houston and in southern Florida. They really just guarantee that even the astronauts they hire are going to be white trash. If they wanted to if they wanted to make sure they got the cream of the crop, they should have opened one up in L.A., and then then one in the East Coast somewhere, and maybe somewhere in Canada. Because really, you go further south than like Tennessee, and you're going to end up with what you ended up with, which is somebody wearing a diaper. And you know, that really reminds me, though, if you want to recruit assassins, recruit straight out of NASA. Because they're used to wearing diapers, so they don't have to stop and do the bathroom, and they're used to not bathing for like 6 months at a time. And they're used to like
eating non-perishable food.
Yeah, I mean, they'd be the perfect
they're
killer.
They're used to any emergency situation. They're equipped.
Yeah, the only problem is that they apparently don't realize you can get actual guns. You don't have to rely on BB guns, which is depressing. I was sad about that. They made it sound like it was attempted murder. It wasn't attempted murder. It was attempted blinding. She went with some pepper spray and a BB gun. The worst
what
thing
was the tubing for?
We don't like to talk about that, but she's going to build a spaceship of love or something along those lines. And meanwhile, NASA continues its you know, no, we don't know anything about whether astronauts have sex in space, and we've never conducted experiments to that nature. Bullshit. That's what I say. What do you think?
I mean, I think everyone would really be, every astronaut would be very curious to see what sex in space would be like, even if they weren't attracted to their fellow crew mates.
And you've seen the astronauts.
Well,
there's no way you could be attracted.
I've actually downloaded some astronaut porn, and some of it's pretty hardcore, and it's pretty hot.
So what's it like? What does astronaut porn do for you?
Well, for one thing, you know, the happy endings are kind of all over the place because of the gravity.
Yeah, you don't really get dukkake. You get more of like a light dewy mist, right? I'm gonna have to shower for that joke. Well, what's your favorite astronaut porn?
I would say Stop My Astronaut Is on Fire, Volume 4.
Yeah.
Do you have kind of a riff on your joke, isn't it?
No. I like Ready for Liftoff. That's my favorite one. And Viagranauts. That actually is the hottest one. Viagranauts is really great because it's a time-lapse photography porn, which is a very new frontier of pornography. Instead of actually showing you the porn, they show you 17 hours of people during, before, after, and sleeping off the sex, only condensed into half an hour. So, you know, yeah, you get like a money shot that lasts for like a frame, and then you get like 13 minutes of the astronaut apologizing for ending so fast. And but it's done in time-lapse photography, so it's less embarrassing for him, I think. What were you going to say, Chisholm?
Nothing.
Well, that's Chisholm Worthington, by the way, here in the studio with us. And Chisholm, why don't you introduce yourself? No.
Yes.
Why don't I introduce yourself?
Go ahead.
Chisholm Worthington is escaped nobility from Russia. His family made it out of Russia circa 1917, right when the revolution went down. The Worthington family were actually the Worthenoffs, right?
You're actually pretty close.
Really? Go ahead.
We're actually from Royd, Missouri.
Oh, right. That's the Soviet Socialist Republic of Royd, Missouri.
Right. And we're gypsies, and I had lots of brothers and sisters. Some of them...
Are you gypsies like the scary gypsies from British gangster movies, or are you gypsies like Bette Midler?
Now you're kind of making fun of me.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I wasn't making fun of you.
Let's just say I just got the hell out of Royd and never looked back.
So what does Royd have? What do you do in Royd for fun?
We write songs. Thousands of them.
Really?
Yes.
Would you happen to have some songs that you've written tonight?
I brought some songs with me.
And are these traditional folk songs from Royd, Missouri?
In a way they are, but mostly no.
Oh, well, in that case... You're lying to me again. Chisholm, what's your musical mission in life?
That's a good question, Ross. Can I call you Ross?
Yeah, no, that's fine. My friends call me Mr. Lincoln.
Mr. Lincoln.
Thank you.
My musical mission in life is to write songs and make people happy and somehow get laid.
So is that do you want to sleep with me?
Well, not exactly you.
Damn it. Then I guess my musical mission failed tonight. Once again, I'm going to remain a virgin.
I'm only on my second beer.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Well, what we're going to do, without any further ado, I'd like to hear two songs. Would two songs be okay?
Two songs would be great.
Now, what songs are you going to perform for us tonight, these two songs first?
Well, right now I'm going to do a song called Creepy Cool.
This is a really excellent song, by the way.
It actually is. The next song is called King Tut. It's my new single.
I actually was going to play King Tut later, but now I don't have to because you're doing
it for me.
Yeah. I outsourced it.
Well, you may play a version that has the right words. I may forget the words.
If you guys want to hear more of Chisholm Worthington's stuff, I'm sure a lot of you listening right now are already familiar with him, but if you're not previously familiar with Chisholm, myspace.com/Chisholm Worthington, that's C-H-I-S-S-U-M Worthington, spelled exactly as it sounds. Or and from there, you can go to his YouTube page, which has a jackload of videos. Anyway, yes. I'm going to shut up and let you play, and let me just do a test real fast for me.
Can you hear that?
Yes.
Can you hear the guitar?
Yes, we can.
Can you hear my voice?
I can hear everything.
You can feel it?
I can feel it right in my diaphragm.
Oh, my God.
It's protecting me from getting musically pregnant.
Oh, my Christ.
Ladies and gentlemen, Creepy Cool. Thank you.
touch me. I don't have cooties. I don't have a sunburn. That's how my skin is. You'll like me if you get past the sunburn. Again, that's not a sunburn. That's how my heart does. Creepy. They call me creepy. Well, I'm creepy cool. I'm creepy cool. I'm creepy cool. Dinner, then maybe a movie. You'll like my talking. I talk very good. After, we'll see about kissing. That's what I'm good at. That and the talking. Creepy. They call me creepy. Well, I'm creepy cool. I'm creepy cool. I'm creepy cool.
Yay.
Thank you very much.
That was wonderful. And the next song, King Tut?
King Tut. Hooray. Wish me luck on this one.
Good luck.
You know what? I already forgot it. Hold on. Now I got it. King Tut had a funny butt. He was buried in a box of gold. So what? He was still a nut. I'm sorry, but it has to be told. Well, it was Gilligan that put it best when he told the skipper all of his lies. It was Gilligan who put it all to the test, and Tutankhamun finally dies. Oh no. Somewhere in the hills of Egypt, toot toot, he had a bad day. Toot toot, you can say he was ill-equipped. Toot toot, Uncommon slipped away. Toot toot, Uncommon slipped away. King Tut had a funny butt. He was buried in a box of gold. So what? He was still a nut. I'm sorry, but it has to be told. Oh no. Somewhere in the hills of Egypt, toot toot, he had a bad day. Toot toot, you can tell he was ill-equipped. Toot toot, Uncommon slipped away. Toot toot, Uncommon slipped away. Thank you, God bless.
That was fantastic. So how did you get inspired to write a song about King Tut?
Well, I'm an educated man, and I'm fascinated by many things in history. And I was reading on the internet about King Tut and all of the stuff he did, and I was just, like, blown away. And I wanted to write a song that put my feelings into words and to show my patrons what it was like to be blown away on the internet by something that I read about King Tut.
You're lying to me. I'm sorry. That's a lie. I can't accept that answer.
For one thing, Ross, you're going to have to understand, I don't lie. I tell the truth.
Okay, but why are you coming to my show and like blowing into my dick like that? What the fuck?
Well, for one thing, I'm not blowing. I'm sucking. And metaphorically,
that was why it felt so good. Seriously, though. I don't believe that story. I hear the story, and the power of ancient Egypt came through the microphone.
Well, I think a lot of that has to also do with what's going on in the Middle East. With, I get so confused about what's going on in the Middle East.
Well, at last I checked, there's this country called Iraqin. It's like two halves of it. There is Ran and Ire.
Sure.
And I don't know much more about that except for the fact that they love being blown up by American bombs.
Sure.
Like, that's pretty much their national sport.
Someone's making a lot of money.
Man, I'm making a lot of money. My name is actually Ross Halliburton.
Doggy do.
And let's talk about Creepy Cool.
Yes.
Where did Creepy Cool come from? How were you inspired to write that song?
Well, I was on the internet one day looking up stuff on King Tut, kingtut.com, and I was just blown away by everything I read, and I just wanted to put everything I felt about what I was blown away with into words, and so I wrote the song Creepy Cool.
I just want to tell everybody, there's also kingtut.co.uk for our British listeners who may not be able to access the American version of the website. It's exactly the same as the American version of the website, but it's, you know, with lots of, like, wrong spelling, you know. Like, U in color, it's color.
They're effed up.
Yeah, exactly my point. Those crazy Egyptians and their ancient history. So would you say that, you know, there's the curse of King Tut that everyone has heard about since the 1920s.
Sure.
And we know that Steve Martin was, his talent was ripped from his soul after he performed his own King Tut song.
Who?
And Steve Martin. Exactly.
You know.
He wrote a song, not anything like your song, but after that he was forced to do movies like, Father the Bride.
I've seen that. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, in that case, then you have a good career to look forward to. But I see. Wow. Well, it's a great movie then. I'm just saying that, like, plus the British explorers who all mysteriously died after looting the temple of King Tut.
I didn't get that far.
Oh, good, good. Whew. Have you felt like there's a curse of King Tut affecting you whatsoever?
I don't really know.
So would you consider yourself a paranoid person, just out of curiosity?
Only when I smoke the weed.
Which weed are we referring to, though?
Sticky Icky.
I'm not familiar.
Icky Sticky, I don't know.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I always mow weeds out of my yard because I don't want them to look bad.
Word up.
You're talking about dandelions? I'm just curious. This slang you're using doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
Well, you're not hip.
No, that's exactly the problem. I've been trying to be for years. Teach me, teacher.
I'm not hip.
I beg to disagree. I want to ask you a question, and this is a very serious question.
Sure.
Now, you've got about 4 jillion songs.
Yes.
If you go to his MySpace page, it links to his video page. Did you make videos for every single one of your songs?
No. I've got roughly 35 songs and only about 11 or 12 videos.
Only 11.
I've got a lot of promos for my rock and roll gigs that I perform at.
It's true. I noticed you didn't do one for Theme Party.
No. I'll tell you why.
Why?
I ran out of tape. I didn't have paydays today, and I didn't have time to get a tape. So
what you do all the editing yourself. George Bush don't know shit.
That's correct.
Are you going to play that song later?
No, I'm not.
Damn it. I will have to find that song at some point and play it because I...
it's a great song.
Yeah, it really is. But the video to this song is really great because it's actually you looking like a newscaster. What do you use? That's the question I have for you.
Well, you got it all wrong. I was in Phoenix, Tempe, Arizona.
Right.
I was on one of the shows there. It was a Channel 9 show, and I was an editorialist.
Oh,
and I just did it. It was just an intern job. And
no, I understand it. It did look archival to me.
Well, no, it didn't, but it did look sort of like it was old.
Yeah, no, it looked like. I mean, that was like what back in 2001.
I don't really remember.
Well, what was Tempe, Arizona like? That would be my question.
Well, it's a beautiful country.
It really is. It's not a country though; it's a state. Of the best country on earth, Mexico.
You may be wrong. I'll have to check.
No, you know what? I'm pretty correct about this. Arizona is part of the great nation of Canada. It is. Well, the way it works, it's Canada is not 100% contiguous. There's Northern Canada.
Contiguous.
That's a word. It's Latin for touching, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'd like to get contiguous with about 50% of this room.
Wow. I actually want to do that. I can't even stay straight. Oh, my God. You found a way to make seduction geeky. That's incredible.
I'm just...
No, I want to go to, like... I know if we went... No, if we went to San Diego or to Northern California, there has to be, like, geologist nightclubs where you can go up to some of the hot geology ladies and be like, so you want to get contiguous? Would you like to feel my tectonic forces?
Tectonic?
I don't even know what that means. I read it in the Wikipedia today.
Nor do I.
Well, I believe it's related to... It means German. The tectonic knights were... Yeah, Germany's a country south of China.
I'm going to have to Google that when I get home.
Well, trust me. Man, I just don't believe anything anymore. What do you think is your best quality?
Apart from my private section, I would say my songwriting, the voice that God gave me.
Which voice was that?
You're listening to it.
Well, I mean, it sounds like your voice, though. What part of it was divinely inspired?
Well, it's just the way I sing.
Oh.
And my private section. Did I mention that?
No, you did mention that. Was that given to you by God as well?
I don't know.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to embarrass you. I understand that you... I don't want to put you on the spot here. For those of you who are listening, he is naked in the radio studio right now. And it is a compelling sight. The private section he's referring to is not his genitalia. He actually has a platoon of penis soldiers that are doing cock push-ups. He asked them to drop and give him 20. And they're doing it right now. It's pretty impressive.
Thank you.
Well, no, thank you. I actually have some good fantasy fodder later on tonight. If you do it, I'm going to get contiguous with myself.
Doggy do.
Yeah, nah. Moment of silence. Okay, we're back. All right, so Chisholm.
Yes.
I've asked you what your musical mission is, mm-hmm. which apparently involves deflowering some lucky ladies later.
Deflowering, I don't go there.
No, what do you intend to do?
Well, deflowering is the first time.
Oh, right. Do you want the sloppy seconds then?
No.
No, well, what do you want? There's only two. Do you want...
Denatured flowering?
That's fine by me. What's your ideal woman?
I would have to say someone who's soft, sweet, simple, blind.
Do you want blind like in the Lionel Richie Hello video? Or do you want blind like in that really terrible Val Kilmer movie? Or do you want Stevie Wonder blind? Like what? There's like many different kinds of blind.
What Val Kilmer movie are you talking about?
The one where he gets his sight back later on in the movie.
No.
No, okay, not that one. Well, there's Stevie Wonder blind where you're really funky.
Yes.
And then there's the Lionel Richie video blind where you're not very funky, but you can make Lionel Richie without even being able to see him, which is an important blind person skill.
Well, I see your point, but I think that the Stevie Wonder scenario is probably the best for me. For one thing, I like the music. And the other thing, I think it's good because the women don't judge me.
Mm. That's true. When you're funky like Stevie Wonder, you don't judge anybody.
That's correct.
See, what you're looking for is somebody who will give you songs and love in the key of life. Is that what you're saying?
Yes and no. And I do want to clarify this, that the song I just called to say I love you,
yeah.
I don't like.
Really?
Yes. But you are the sunshine of... Well, you were three. My favorite is You Are the Sunshine of My Life or My Cherie Amour.
No, those are both very good songs. I happen to be a big fan of Sir Duke.
Great song.
Yeah, I really like that song a lot. And I also like... Living for the City. I should know the title of that.
Sorry, I've never heard that song.
I'm not going to sing it right now. Yeah, I would sing it, but I'm gonna. I can't do Stevie.
I gotta sing.
Here we go.
The second you hear the Bob from Sesame Street version of Sir Duke, it ruins it forever for you.
Really?
It's Bob and a bunch of small children singing. The children's choir in the background singing, you can feel it all over. And
bad news.
And Bob from Sesame Street. It is the most horrifying thing you'll ever hear, and I have that album.
That is outrageous.
Yeah, you know what is awesome, though? The children's choir and God of Thunder by Kiss.
I don't know any Kiss.
I might play God of Thunder later. How could you not know Kiss?
Well, I know Kiss. I just want to rock and roll all night and party every day.
Right. They also wrote Unchained Melody.
Sure. I love that song.
And they wrote...
I didn't know they wrote that.
No, they did. That, before they were Kiss, they were Glenn Miller.
Sure. Oh, I love that.
And so they also wrote Moonlight Serenade. My favorite Kiss composition, though, is How Can We Be Lovers If We Can't Be Friends?
You're pulling my leg.
No, that is a Kiss song. I was there when they wrote it. Made me happy.
Okay, now you're lying.
I am.
You lying sack of shit.
No. Whoa. I invite you into my house.
You lie like a rug.
I lie like your mom.
Hey.
I by lie, I mean love intelligently even when Ross insults her. It's an acronym. I would like to play a couple of songs. And when we return, more from Chisholm Worthington, more songs from Chisholm Worthington, and I will have gotten over the tragic events of the early part of this show, I would like to say this, and this is a special message. Whoever it was that rewired the board will suffer a million forms of pain and destruction. But first, and this is most important, I'm going to dedicate this song to the man who just played, and the reason I'm going to do that is because it's one of his songs. The song is called Naked Bathrobe Sunday. And it actually is the Sunday that I plan on having this Sunday in honor of this song. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Theme Party. Thank you for listening. We'll be back in a minute.
Naked Bathrobe Sunday. Get my paper from the driveway. I don't care if the neighbors look away when they get a peek at my morning buffet. Day off. I'm gonna cough. Yeah, then I'll sneeze. They always come in threes. Kicking back. Feeling whack. Yeah, I read the news. Then I'll put on my shoes. Naked Bathrobe Sunday. Get my paper from the driveway. I don't care if the neighbors look away when I get a peek at my morning buffet.
Know that before tonight's show, I actually went to the LA School of Sound and Engineering, and that's why tonight's episode is so professional.
You're free.
hear Badman, aren't we?
Or yes.
Now? Oh, good.
Are.
It's a good song. It's called Badman. Wait, think fast. Theme party, go.
Badman, you take your cues from the wolves. I'm not surprised to know that you don't even like yourself. I'm not surprised to see that you live in sheer misery. Well, you will always be bad man. Take your cues from the rats, the rats, the rats, the rats. When all is said and done, count your money on a boat somewhere mid-surge to keep you warm, 'cause it can't be your friend. When all is said and done, the truth is that you failed, sir. As a human being, you failed, sir. Bad man. You take your cues from the snakes. You take my good ideas and you make them seem wrong. As a human being, you failed, so
Spray.
And that was Peter Bjorn and John, a Swedish musician duo type thing, last I heard. And they are, you know, like many Swedes, good at making music, apparently. And we're back at Theme Party, and I want to tell you what we were just listening to. And I also want to point out that while we were listening to music, a conversation started about pornography that hopefully we can get people to share their thoughts on later. But there was something I found out this week thanks to Dan Savage. Apparently there is a device that you can purchase that you can plug. It's a lady's personal enjoyment device that plugs directly into your iPod. And you can listen to it while you're listening to it as such.
It's called the iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That. You better... I don't think that's what it's called. You should market that as the name. But it would only sell to like people in the South, I think. In Oklahoma, they... The vulgar names only go from... We'll come back to that. Let's talk...
Since when is poon vulgar?
Well, it's true. Certainly in Missouri, it's a term of endearment.
Dude, you're so uptight.
Yeah, someone speaking to the microphone.
Since when is poon just a Southern colloquialism? Because
it could be nationwide.
Because it's south of the belly button?
That, exactly. The Mason-Dixon line of the human body. The last song we heard was Amsterdam by Peter Bjorn and John, as I just said. Before that, I played a song by Devo, which you hear in the background because, you know what, I'm just going to use them as background music. But I played Super Thing from New Traditionalists. Before that, I played a song from last week's performance by Wait Think Fast called Bad Men. Before that, Captain and Tennille, Love Will Keep Us Together. We opened it up with Naked Bathroom Sunday, Bathrobe Sunday by Chisholm Worthington.
Great song.
Thank you. I'm glad I chose it. I wrote that for you, if you recall.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It was my pleasure letting me write a song for you postemptively.
You write really great songs. No, I'm just kidding.
Ow! What the fuck? I do write really good songs. I wrote God Bless America.
That was you?
That was me.
Oh.
I wrote the Star Spangled Banner. I love that song. I know. Well, I didn't write the lyrics of the music. I just wrote the part where you just go, "La!" at the end, at the World Series. I was the first person to do that.
Let me tell you something about the line, Rockets Red Glare. You know where that came from?
No.
Well, pardon me?
I've
got nothing.
Yeah, okay. Chisholm, you know what I would like for you to do? I would like you to show your Rockets Red Glare of music to me right now.
I will.
What song is you going to play?
I'm going to do a song right now. I'm going to do a couple songs right now. The first one I'm going to do is called The Same, and I want to... This is a shout out to my bros, my brosifs, Flacco, Danny, and oh god, I forget his name.
This is very
Joe. He's the singer. They're the guys in my band, Pussy Cow.
Pussy Cow.
Yes.
What do you know about this band, Pussy Cow?
Well, I know. Well, they're a rockin' and rolling group, and we're gonna play. Now, let me just one of the persons. Is that a word? Persons.
Persons. Yes.
Okay. Peoples. Or is it persons?
The Peoples is only in Zorro the Gay Blade.
Okay.
Anyway, it's the Peoples.
Someone in this room is also in the band Pussy Cow.
Is it me?
Well, no.
God damn it. No one ever lets me in their band.
It's Rain. And Rain will be playing
with us.
Rain is right here. Rain? Yes.
Yes, hello.
This is Rain Collins. She'll be playing tambourine for us next Thursday at Club Used to Be Cool. And Pasadena's Old Town Pub, Pussy Cow, rocks the stage roughly around 10 o'clock.
I see. So, Rain, what do you bring besides tambourine?
Awesome.
That's not a quality that you can quantify.
Actually, awesome is not a noun.
It's true.
It is when I bring it.
Word up, dog.
Word. Yeah, I'm just going to win in Rome, do like the Vandals do.
I've never been to Rome. Anyway, this song is called The Same, and then the next song I'm going to do is a song called, well, you'll hear it. Anyway, this song is called The Same. Can you hear it?
I can hear it.
First one was on drugs, second was on drugs. 13 years later and they're all still on drugs. First one was a bitch, second was a bitch. 13 years later and they all were a bitch. They're all the same, 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 the same as the first. Boy, I'm lucky all my lines are well rehearsed. First one was nuts, second was nuts. 13 years later and they're all fucking bonkers. First one had cats, second had cats. 13 years later and they're all fucking bonkers. Oh no, those aren't the words, but I'm on the radio so I'm nervous. They're all the same, 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 same, the same, the same, the same, the same, the same, the same, same, the same, the same, the same, the same as the first. Boy, I'm lucky all my lines were rehearsed. Different body, different head, same actions and idiot sequences. My relationships are reruns, like Wally and the Beat. They're all the same, 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 same, the same, the same, the same, the same, the same, the same, same, the same, the same, the same, the same as the first. Boy, I'm lucky all my lines are rehearsed.
Hooray!
Yay!
Thank you very much.
Brought a tear to my eye.
Oh, that's great. It is romantic. Here's a romantic song I'm going to sing, and I want to sing this. I got three girls in this room with me. One, two, three. Three. And this goes to all of them, but...
Four.
Are you counting me as a girl?
One, two, three, four. I have a hat on.
I'm sorry, sweetie, what was your name?
It's a girl's name.
You know, this is dedicated to all of them. There's reasons I don't give a damn. I'm kicking off my Sunday shoe, praying I'm not front page news, cause I just wanna bend you over. I'm thinking that I might get some sleep. I'm itching for a thousand dreams, waking up to all it seems, cause I just wanna bend you over. Something in the river turned my heart into liver. I was warm and now I shiver. I've been drinking from the river. A cocktail for one, maybe two. A cup of tea, a cup of joe, whatever is you're looking for, cause I just wanna bend you over.
Hooray! Thank you.
Thank you.
Chisholm, I want to ask you some questions now.
Sure.
I want to put you on the spot.
Sure, go ahead.
All right. I've got some very original and important questions to ask you. And the first one is...
Sure.
What are your influences?
Well, musical influences?
Any influences.
It's like I haven't heard this question before. Anyway, musical instruments.
Look, it's a fair question.
Well, sure.
No, yeah. What the fuck?
No, I'm just saying. We've heard these
fair
questions.
Fair question. Just answer the fucking question.
All right. My main musical influences would be Burt Bacharach, Jimmy Webb, Johnny Pumpkin, and the Beatles.
You know Jimmy Webb's from Oklahoma.
I had no idea.
He is. I just happen to like MacArthur Park.
Oh.
I don't like you, though.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. So that's it? Why are they your influences?
Well, mainly because of the use of the minor 7 chord. Let me give you an example.
Do it.
I screwed up. That wasn't a minor 7 chord. Hold on. That's a minor 7 chord.
I can almost feel the urge to go, MacArthur's Park is melting in the dark.
My favorite Jimmy Webb song is Wichita Lineman.
Oh. So those are your influences. What would you say is your favorite song of all time?
Of all time?
Of all time.
I would have to say, oh my God, you put me on the spot.
It's a fair question.
That song Amsterdam that you were playing earlier?
It's a good song.
Those guys, York Bjork or
Bjork and Peter, Paul, and Mary is the name of the band. That's the name of the band. It's a super group of dead and insane people.
Here's a great pickup line. I just made it up.
Let's hear it.
Will you Peter, Paul, and marry me?
Ooh.
Oh, hell.
That's pretty
I'm
nice.
Sorry, sweetie. What was your name?
Damn, I think we've made a love connection here. So what would you say is your most poignant song?
Oh, God. I've heard these questions so many times.
Well, you're going to have to answer them again.
Well, all right.
God, fucking prima donnas, man.
Well, no. I'd say my most poignant song is a song I wrote called You Will Drink the Black Sperm of My Vengeance.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh. It's such a serious subject matter.
Well,
what is the song about? You Will Drink the Black Sperm of My Vengeance.
It's about 2 minutes. No, I'm just kidding.
That's what I said to your mom last night. Oh! That was bad. I'm so sorry, Mrs. Worthington.
Be cool with my mom, okay?
I am cool with your mom.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom. I'm sorry for insulting you. All right, I got to ask you a
question. Next question.
No, I'm sorry. Look, you cooperate with me. I invited you here. I brought you a mountain of heroin like you asked.
And I thank you for that.
No, you're not thanking me. You're being extremely rude to me. And I don't know. Why are you hurting me?
No, I'm not. Just ask a question, okay?
All right. Would you say your lyrics, and this is important, would you say your lyrics are translucent? No, seriously, or more transcendent?
Oh, God.
I mean, when you write a song, are you trying to touch the sky with your heart?
Dude, you're so weird.
No, this is an important question. Look, when you write a song, are you touching the sky or are you caressing the sky? Are you trying to reach for a heavenly plane?
No, I'm fucking the sky. Look, dude, I'm not even going to put up these questions.
Whoa, what the fuck?
I came here to sing some songs and be interviewed.
I had you. I'm interviewing you and you sang some songs. I don't understand why you got to be a dick like this.
I'm not being a dick.
Yes,
but
you
I'll
are.
I'll tell you what I am.
No.
I'm leaving.
What? What? That's fucking bullshit. I can't. No, come back in here.
You can just kiss my ass.
God damn it. All right, would somebody please show some side boob to this man so we can get him back in here? Would somebody volunteer for that? Rain.
No, that's cool.
Damn it. All right. Chisholm, okay. Look, I'm showing you some sideburn. Boob.
Right. I'm back. Whatever.
All right.
Hey, you know what?
What?
I knew this was going to happen, so what I did, I wanted to... Look, I'm used to the interview. I get all these kind of interviews, translucent lyrics and all that kind of stuff, and it's just really stupid and all that.
Thank you. No, that's not. What
no,
the fuck?
No, I'm not.
No. You know, go ahead and say what you got to say.
All right. Well,
make me cry.
I came up with the idea. I recorded myself recording some questions for myself.
Why don't you get your own show then?
Well, no. That's not it.
All right. Go on.
No, I haven't listened to it and all that. I mean, I edited it real quick. I didn't have a good chance to proofread it, so to speak, because I was working tonight and I got off work late because I had to work late because they needed a cashier.
Okay.
And that's like an extra dollar an hour.
Is this at the Making Ross's Feelings Hurt store that you work at?
No, I'm not. No.
Look, do you want me to press play on this or not? You gave me the CD.
Here's the CD and just press play.
All right. Okay. You know, ladies and gentlemen, here is some questions of a prima donna by a prima donna on Theme Party. Any second.
Oh, heck. This is not even working.
Testing. 1, 2, 3. I don't hear myself. No, I'm just kidding. I do. Okay, Chisholm, question number one. Actually, it's a statement, Chisholm. I have to say, you look quite dashing tonight.
Thank you.
Is that Marsucci?
Yes, you have a keen eye for fashion.
Thank you. First question, do you like cheese?
No, I don't.
Next question. Next question. Your first album, the 32-track Chisholm Worthington and the Secret of the Nurdle, dealt with the many personal and quite dramatic issues that you were going through during the making of the album. Can you elaborate further and tell the audience exactly what you were going through?
Yes, I can. Let me explain. Around 5 years
Next
ago...
question. Oh. What is your favorite color?
Well, no, let's backtrack to the first question. Around 5 years ago, I was going to say...
Next question. Oh. What's your favorite takeout franchise? Popeyes or KFC?
Popeyes, if we're going to compare extra crispy
okay,
recipes.
Okay, next question.
Oh, Jesus, you're not
Which do you prefer, kissing or hugging?
I think I didn't leave enough space after the question.
Okay,
so
and what do you like best, HJs or BJs?
Look, how can I answer this stuff if you won't let me finish?
For Christ's sakes, I'm doing the best I can.
I'm sorry. Please continue. I apologize.
No, that's okay. It's my fault, too. Well, I guess it's
our fault.
Next question. Ever had a crush on your fourth grade teacher?
Yes.
Did you ever end up banging her?
Yes.
Next question. Death penalty. Yay or nay?
I'll go with neither.
And the last question, ever played hooky?
Yes.
Thank you so much, Chisholm, for being our guest in the studio. I never really liked your music. No, I'm just kidding. I do. Back to you, Ross.
Oh, I have to break the fourth wall and say that was hilarious. We got to clap for Chisholm, thank you for bringing yourself as a guest into the studio. You did far better questioning than I could ever hope to do in a million years.
Well, of course.
You know, you're originally scheduled to play six songs, but would you be willing to add a seventh song into the mix just for me?
It depends if I remember it.
I'm really ready to take that chance. Chisholm, play a song for Ross.
Okay. You really want to hear a song?
Oh, I want to hear a song.
I have to look at my notes and find... Oh, I know what I'm doing. I got two songs right now. Two more songs, right?
Actually, if you do one right now, you can have two. You can have three total songs left for the show.
Okay, I can do it.
Word. What's the song called?
Well, this song is Well, now I'm going to talk through it, so I'm only going to do two. But anyway, this song is was written after I came back from the doctors, and he had given me a prognosis, and I was kind of upset, and I sat down and I wrote this song, and it goes like this. I got a nurdle caught in my tweedle and it's making me crazy. Knock, knock, knock it off. No more nurdle for me. Sitting down with a fork and a knife, digging into what's left of my life. Fast eater I am that I reckon. A bowl of nurdle gone in 60 seconds. I got a nurdle caught in my tweedle and it's making me crazy. Knock, knock, knock it off. No more nurdle for me. We can all sing to this part. Ba-na, nurdle, nurdle. Ba-na, nurdle, nurdle. Ba-na, nurdle, nurdle. Oh, oh. I got a nurdle caught in my tweedle and it's making me crazy. Knock, knock, knock it off. No more nurdle for me. Knock, knock, knock it off. Knock, knock, knock it off.
Yay. Thank you so much for that. What are the titles of the last three songs you just played for our lovely home audience? That song was called?
That song was called Nurdle.
And the song before that was called?
I didn't do a song before that.
Yes, you did, before the interview.
Oh, my gosh. What?
You played the same and the song after the same.
Oh, I did the same, and then I did a song called Bend You Over.
That was fan-fucking-tastic.
Do you know what Bend You Over is about?
I'm not going to take a guess. What's it about?
Well, it's about me getting down with the ladies in the doggy-style position.
Contiguously?
I don't need... Oh, that's that word. Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, you're terrific. I'm going to play one song. We're going to come back in a minute with more theme party in a second. I'm actually in love with this particular song by a man whose name happens to be Michel Colombier. He's a French
genius. That's a girl's name.
In French, it's a man's name. It's Michel with an L but no E. And
it's a girl's name.
Well, it could be a girl's name, but in Frances.
All the French are girls anyway.
Sexy girls. Except for this guy. He's like a skinny, bearded, glasses-wearing, you know.
You're describing all French girls anyway.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to let him play and win you over with his magical powers. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in a couple of seconds.
Thank you.
remind everybody what listening right now. I know you're listening. You can always contact us if you want to ask Chisholm some questions. Our AOL Instant Messenger ID is Theme Party Radio. Go ahead. Say hello if you're listening. We'd like to hear from you.
Everyone has been burned before.
pretty much going to play this song every week until it's a hit. I have no real power over the marketplace, but gosh darn it, the song is so incredible.
What did you hear? Listen at your order. Those most deserving will end up with the most. That the cream cannot help but always rise up to the top. Well, I say, shit floats. If you thought things had changed, friend, you better think again. Bluntly put, in the fewest of rights, cunts are still running the world. Cunts are still running the world. Now the working classes are obsolete. They are surplus to society's needs. So let them all kill each other and get it made overseas. That's the word, don't you know, from the guys that's running the show. Let's be perfectly clear, boys and girls. Oh, cunts are still running the world. Cunts are still running. Top of the league. In theory, I respect your right to exist. I will kill you if you're moving next to me. It stinks. It sucks. It's anthropologically unjust. Oh, but the takings are a riot first. Perfectly natural. Do you think that I'm some kind of dummy? It's the ideal way to order the world. Fuck the morals, does it make any money? And if you don't like it, then leave. Or use your right to protest on the streets. Yeah, yes, you're right, but don't imagine that it's hurt.
And of course, we are now back. Hi, everybody. Anybody near a microphone who can say hi?
Hello.
Hello.
Chisholm, I just want to say, and I mean this as a sincere compliment, you're the most dapper man I have met tonight.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I would like to say, and I hope I'm accurate here, that you're about to perform another song for us. Am I correct?
Well... This is weird because you said I can can do two songs.
That's correct. I just didn't want to overtax you.
Is it two songs or one?
Well,
song?
How about you do one song now and then we'll do one more as we go out. We got 20 minutes left in the show. So let's have you do one now, and we'll talk for a while, and then we'll do one more before the end of the show.
Okay.
And that way, give people something to look forward to. Now,
okay,
what song are you going to perform right now for
this
us?
This song is a song called Whoopsie Daisy.
All right, Chisholm Worthington, Whoopsie Daisy.
Whoopsie Daisy, I'll say it again. Whoopsie Daisy, I'm your cool daddy friend. Whoopsie Daisy, my smack I recommend. Whoopsie Daisy, on your rockin' rear end. Hello, where's Denmark? Do you have a cold? Good morning. Okay, I like the color green. $4.50, you get all the fixings. Whoopsie Daisy, I'll say it again. Whoopsie Daisy, I'm your cool daddy friend. Whoopsie Daisy, my smack I recommend. Whoopsie Daisy, on your rockin' rear end. This world is hot. I'll eat your donut. I'm not a whore. Shimmy sham, it's so delicious. I like cocoa. Cocoa in the morning. Whoopsie Daisy, I'll say it again. Whoopsie Daisy, I'm your cool daddy friend. Whoopsie Daisy, my smack I recommend. Whoopsie Daisy, on your rockin' rear end.
That was really, really wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Wow.
Thank you so very much.
You're probably the most wholesome person I've had on Theme Party in a long time.
God bless you. Thank you so much, Ross.
What's the next song going to play?
The next song I'm going to do a song is called Split Pea Soup, and it's a song written many, 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 many days ago. And it's about what I feel about life and love in general.
I'm a personally huge fan of this song.
What a coinky dink. So am I. Monkey, oh no. You know what? I forgot the song. Okay, I got it. I remembered it. Monkey, rabbit, rabbit. Pickle, pickle, dag, nabbit, nabbit. The world is for... you know what? I got to start the song over again.
No, that's fine. You know what?
The lyrics to this song are very important, and I forgot to memorize them. Monkey, monkey, rabbit, rabbit. Pickle, pickle, dag, nabbit, nabbit. The world is beautiful and funny like split pea soup. And I've been chewing on split pea soup for a million years. Mm-hmm. A small potato that is bigger than a bun. That's no potato that I'll eat it till I'm done. The world is ugly, but it alternates with beautiful. And I've been alternating beautiful for a million years. Mm-hmm. Monkey, monkey, rabbit, rabbit. Pickle, pickle, dag, nabbit, nabbit. The world is beautiful and funny like split pea soup. And I've been chewing on split pea soup for a million years. Mm-hmm.
Hooray. You know, I realized something when you were playing that song. We totally did not delay that till the end of the show.
What do you mean?
You owe me another song. You think you could do one more song before? I know I'm just...
Hey, if we play some songs and...
We will. Don't worry. Dance for me, monkey. Dance.
Oh, God.
I've brought a trained musician for our entertainment. You know, I'll play some more music in a second, but you know what we haven't done tonight? And that's partially due to the genius of Chisholm being here to entertain us all. I haven't really had a chance to talk to my main homegirl over there, DJ Kiss My Fist. DJ Kiss My Fist, I just want you to know that the love that I feel for you is true and Christian. And it's there from the bottom of my heart. And I want to know how you're doing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm having an interesting time as of late.
One thing that we didn't get to talk about last week, and I wanted to talk about this week.
In our crazy show, I think...
You're working for...
It's very apropos. I'm working for what I like to call Berko.
That was in David Berkowitz.
Yeah, because...
What does apropos mean?
It means
It means
appropriate.
I'm trying to think of a fun.
Then why not say appropriate? Everybody knows that word.
Kiss My Fist has a speech impediment. She can't say anything unless it's pretentious.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry about that.
I love you.
I'm blue collar to the core.
Word. Silk
my
blue.
My war against classism earlier this year did not go well. Or no, that was last year. War against classism 06. People didn't take it seriously.
I took it seriously.
Yeah, you did. You guys did. All the theme party crew did. But we like to call it Berko, referring to David Berkowitz, because Advanced D&DJ actually accidentally called it that. It's actually the David Horowitz Freedom Center.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, David Horowitz was a radical, like, hardcore Marxist agitator in the 60s.
Like, in the Black Panthers and stuff.
And then he became a radical conservative.
I read this article while at work that was really interesting. It was written by this guy who was really good friends with one of his sons growing up.
Yeah.
And he was just like, I didn't realize this was the same guy, because, like, back when we were kids, it was just, you know, like, my friend's dad who was, like, in the Black Panthers. And then he wrote a couple books and got rich, and he, like, went crazy, and it went to his head. And this guy...
John, same thing happened to John Grisham.
Probably, yeah.
Well, for those of you who don't know, if you don't mind if I interject real fast.
Sure.
The official biography states that he was affiliated with the Black Panthers in a legal capacity, and a good friend of his... he became convinced was murdered by them. And Black Panthers weren't exactly the most legal, wholesome people in some cases. But
I mean, it's probably not good to be affiliated with the Black Panthers, but I don't think the Black Panthers are representative of, like, all liberal thought.
No. Well, the point is, he was like, this is a thing, and if you can just indulge me, he was super, super radical, hardcore Marxist, and a lot of those guys, for some reason, became radical conservatives during the 70s and 80s. Like, all those neocon guys used to be, like, super, like, the kind of hardcore people. It's like, they're basically people looking for an ideology to focus all their rage onto.
Radical behavior is radical behavior.
Exactly.
I mean, that's why you've got all those people who were, like, Prince's backup dancers, who were, like, you know, sniffing coke off of, like, every surface.
And then
they became, like, evangelicals. You know, it's just, like, radicals. So, like, I wouldn't trust him if he was a radical liberal. And as a radical conservative, it's, like, a little more annoying. But the greatest thing about that place is what people don't know is... maybe I shouldn't... I don't really care. Fuck these people. Everyone in the office hates his guts.
What?
And they just, I swear to God, they all hate him because he is the most miserable human being I have ever met. It's like he cannot say, like, hello when you pick up the phone without seeming pissed.
I will say this. I read on the internet that he's a very good kisser.
I really doubt that because he's an ass. Well, and not even like...
So you can't be an ass, like, and be a good kisser at the same time?
No, but not even a hot ass, because, like...
I beg to differentiate with you.
I have been attracted to people who I thought were assholes, and...
Thank you.
Yes, you found me out. But no, he's a piece of shit. I mean, he really is. But the people in the office feel that while he... in dealing with him, like, on a day-to-day basis is really annoying, they feel that, like, what he's doing is really important. Ugh. And, like, oh, like... But basically, you're surrounded... when you're working there, you're surrounded by books about how, like, dangerous professors in America...
That's
how,
his,
like,
big bugaboo.
A professor, like, had taught something about socialism. And there's all these, like, people who all his little, like, college student groupies who basically they take a minor in peace studies, and then they go into these classes, and then they'll be like, but some conflicts can't be resolved by peace. What about war studies? And then they say it's like a suppressing free speech because they're not, like, looking at the possibility of solving a conflict through war. And then the professor's like, well, this is peace studies, so I don't know what you were, like, thought you were getting into. And then they, like, raise a big stink. But basically what I'm doing right now is I'm collecting email addresses of professors and students. Even though you can't directly access a student directory online, if you type in, basically I take the most popular baby names of the 80s, and then I'll like type in like Jessica A, Jessica B, Jessica C, and then copy and paste all the email addresses that that pulls up for students. And then we send them this email that has this like multimedia presentation where like the flag of Iran like turns into a swastika. And they say that, like, Muslims supported the Nazis. And it's, like, the most offensive thing in the world. And then the other day I was... It's like, you know what? Even if you, like, don't support certain things, like, even if you don't support what Iran is doing, they're not Nazis, and that's, like, crazy.
Well,
and
it's I do want to interject.
Who wants to be called a Nazi? You know,
well,
like,
well, I do want
to... Nazis are from Germany, for one thing.
Not to be history wonkish, and obviously I'm a very left-wing person, so I'm not ever going to be on David Horowitz's side. However, to be fair, that is actually historically accurate. The Nazis did make a lot of deals with Middle Eastern states, because they all agreed on anti-Semitism. The dupeness of this is that Hitler also considered Muslims to be doggerel subhumans as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And the factual information they have on the website is like, Muslim leaders in 1932 admired what Hitler was doing. It's like, everyone in the world admired what Hitler was doing in like 1932. It's like, ooh, look at the like awesome public works he's just like put in the country. You know, it's just like, I'm sure there are just as many Americans who.
Well, there was a rumor that there was an attempted coup in 1935 in America. Business leaders wanted.
I actually read on the internet that Hitler was actually a very tender lover.
It's true. He when he was raping and pillaging the countryside, he gave you kisses on the forehead.
But the other thing I was doing, I was collecting a list of contact information for Arab lobby groups and such groups as Save the Children, because Save the Children are anti-Israel and therefore anti-America, because I don't know, maybe they don't think like Palestinian children should like starve and die, so they like provide them food.
Well, what
so
have the children
are, like,
never
terrorist
done for us
groups.
That's true. They can't get a job.
Sure.
Maybe if the children want to be saved, they should make it worth my while.
Absolutely.
Learn some tap dancing moves. That's what I'm saying.
I'm in full agreement.
Thank you. Exactly. Mm-hmm. No, it is like one of those weird things, like where this guy is so, and these organizations, they're obsessed with college professors, and they're indoctrinating.
As if a college professor who like mentions something about communism is like a huge threat to America.
Well, these people, all they do is
they pick on someone who is absolutely not a threat to anyone, and they just jump
all over.
Well,
it's the right-wing thing. You make people distrust intellectuals. What I find interesting is that they seem to be under this mistaken impression of what, like, liberals want. It's like, they really do believe that we're in league with, like, you know, theocratic governments in the Middle East. Like, our goal is to, you know, because we're not, like, Christians, our goal is to not only get, like, not be religious, but to replace the dominant religion here with, you know, the dominant religion that would also kill us on sight for who we are.
Oh, but
you know?
Check this out. I mean, since he basically, he has this whole, like, Israel thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, being Jewish. Some of the groups on this anti-Israel lobby, like, anti-Jew lobby group, are Jewish groups that are against, like, what's going on in Israel. And I'm like, wow, you know, this guy's against everyone because he's against Jews.
Well, we were talking about this earlier, the conservative point of view, and it doesn't actually apply to David Horowitz because he's not Christian.
Mm-hmm.
For right-wing Christians, they actually believe that, you know, Jesus is coming soon, and when he comes, Jews will all convert to Christianity en masse. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is just sort of like, it's like you know, being against Israel's policies towards Palestine means you're anti-Semitic. At which point you're like, when did my feelings toward Judaism become interlaced with national identity? It's as ridiculous as saying, like...
Well, that's what these groups are saying.
Exactly.
Like, you know, Zionism and Judaism are different things, but I think when you have such a ridiculous platform,
yeah,
you really have to tread a lot of water to defend it. So basically, if you're Jewish and you're defending Judaism, then in order to like defend your ridiculous platform, other Jews are going to be your enemy, and like, you know, children and in your like school district are your enemy. And it's just like all these people who absolutely are not your enemy have to become so in order for you to like,
right. But the truth of the matter is
your point.
Yeah. But the truth is, it's not about Israel. It's not about, you know, defending the rights of Jewish people. It's about propagating a right-wing agenda here.
Mm-hmm.
And basically getting rid of the what they think of as the welfare state. I mean, their whole goal is basically to reverse the last 70 years of American law.
Well, basically, this organization started out, because I've been looking it up now, trying to research what the deal is, because what happened was I went there thinking it was called the Center for Popular Culture, and I just thought this was some sort of like museum organization, yeah. But it used to be called that, and it was renamed, but they didn't notify the temp agency. The temp agency is really pissed that they've been sending temps to this like crazy ass place, unbeknownst to them, because the Center for Popular Culture Studies is a really generic name. But originally they were formed as a sort of like, we need more conservative viewpoints in popular culture because there aren't enough.
I know.
And like liberals have taken over movies. It's like, okay.
I know. You think that you could just say like, look, your point of view isn't funny or fun. No one wants to see a movie about some right-wing blowhard telling us that you're telling us we're evil, and then being simultaneously anti-Semitic and, you know.
But what's interesting is that, you know, there are those websites where, I forget, it was like campaignmoney.org, where basically anytime anyone donates to a campaign, it's public knowledge, so it's just all listed.
Yeah.
So you can look up who donated by zip code, by city.
No, yeah, I know.
And, you know, one day, the day I found that, I was looking up, you know, like Beverly Hills and, you know.
90210.
All the places that, like, film type people would be. And I basically discovered, because it has people's professions on
right.
there. I basically discovered that the way people donate, I would say Hollywood is almost, or by Hollywood I mean the entertainment industry, is probably like split pretty even.
Yeah.
So there's no way that like one specific like political agenda could ever rule over the other one. It's just ridiculous.
We'll continue this conversation next week because it's getting very serious.
Definitely. Sorry.
No. Yeah. It's fine. We had to get that out of our system. I just want to say, damn it. I shouldn't have to say this. How could liberals are not anti-Semites? That's all I want to say. If anything, we're pro-Semites. That's all. We don't want to destroy the world.
I, for one, will say I'm totally for Semites.
Yeah. No, I just get tired of like...
Maybe this is just semantics, but I remember in one of my high school like history classes, Semite is actually like a group of people that also includes a couple different Arab
groups. Yeah, well, I mean, the word...
So, like, accusing someone who's Arab of being anti-Semitic is... Like, it
well, yeah,
could
but
be
the word,
accusing
the word,
them of being.
But the popular
themselves.
Usage, it is what it is. I mean,
mm-hmm.
at any rate.
Anyway,
right.
I'm just saying it's not, it's a flawed term.
Oh, I agree.
You know,
but it
just
was
say anti Jew, you know?
Yeah.
If you're going to say that, because Semites are actually, there's some other people
no, absolutely.
In there who.
But I mean, in all accuracy, I mean, let's be, well, you know, I don't want to get too serious except for to say that if I were in charge of the world, I would urge the Jewish community not to believe right-wingers at anything they say.
But I got to say, for as awful as these people are, they're also really loud and obnoxious, and they spend the entire day jokingly fake sexual harassing each other, which makes it even worse. Because picturing these disgusting people, like, talking about blowjobs all day loudly.
What do they say about blowjobs?
I
mean, like, pretend you're like one of those guys and I'm me. And just go ahead.
They also talk about intestinal parasite cleansing.
Oh, me.
There's
dicks.
This one woman who's like, I'm a vegetarian, blah blah blah, like healthy living. I get my like intestines like flushed every month and I feel much healthier. And then the whole rest of the office like makes fun of her for being a vegetarian, like it's a new thing, like you're tired because you haven't eaten any meat. You don't have enough protein. Like, ha, ha, ha. Like, we have a vegetarian. That's so crazy in the office. Oh, it's a bucket of laughs. But
we'll come back to this next week.
With friends like that, who needs enemas?
One final song from Chisholm Worthington, and it'll be the end of Theme Party after it's over. I just want to say thank you for coming to perform for us, Chisholm. And do you have a show coming up that you want to tell us about?
Well, you know what? I've got a couple of things coming up. Next Thursday, my band Pussy Cow, I did bring a recording of Pussy Cow, but for some reason your equipment didn't work and we couldn't play it. But that's cool. I did sing a song. We're going to play at Club Used to Be Cool at Old Town Pub in Pasadena. And we'll be rocking and rolling with a bunch of great bands. We got the Dolly Rots, New Maximum Donkey, and a bunch of other bands. And then I think I will be doing a show in Long Beach, California at the Pike sometime in March. I have to get back to them. I have to see if I can get the day off.
Make sure that you tell us so we can put it on our MySpace page. Now, what song are you going to play right now?
I'm going to do a song. I think it has a lot. It kind of like ties into this discussion we've been having for the past 45 minutes. It's called Live a Little, Love a Little. And let me tell you about this song. It was, like most of my songs, it's written in the language of English. You may have heard of that. Most songs are actually written in English. This song, however, has a little bit of a language called Chidoinch that I learned many, 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 many months ago. Actually, it was probably June. I don't know. June or July. But I learned this from this man who taught me this language. And I wrote the song because I learned this from him. And it's called Live a Little, Love a Little. If, you know what, this is usually a sing-along song, and I usually like people to sing along, but I'm in kind of a somber mood tonight, so if you can all just kind of not sing with this, and, you know, this kind of weird request, if you can turn off your pagers and cell phones, because it was kind of annoying earlier when you got that phone call. On the wing and a prayer, and some pizza to spare, and my tongue tied in knots, and my blood grouped in clots, linkle do ti di, oich na veron ach mcnoa, which roughly translates as live a little, love a little. Wings extra sauce, cheese I can toss, in the trash root the rest, is a pound in my chest, linkle do ti di, oich na veron a prison, which roughly translates as live a little, love a little. There's sauce on my hands, gonna ruin my pants. If I touch them, but I won't. I feel silly, but I don't. Linkle do ti di, oich na vero a prison, which roughly translates as live a little, love a little. Linkle do ti di, oich na vero a prison.
Thank you very much, Chisholm.
Thank you so much.
And that's how we're going to end Theme Party tonight. I just want to remind everybody, as I want to do, to go right now to Chisholm Worthington's MySpace page. That's myspace.com/Chisholm Worthington, C-H-I-S-S-U-M Worthington, just like it's spelled. Listen to songs, check out his videos, etc., etc. I trust he'll be keeping us abreast of his upcoming shows so we can put them on the Theme Party calendar.
He said abreast.
Yeah, you'll keep us a titty of
upcoming
shows. I'd also like to remind everybody that you can join the Theme Party mailing list. That's themeparty@gmail.com. Of course, you can also go to our MySpace page, myspace.com/themepartyradio.
Next week we'll be back with an all new episode of Theme Party. I trust it will be hilarious. I don't really have much else to say except go next Thursday to Old Town Pub in Pasadena. See Pussy Cow.
Dolly Rots.
Word.
New Maximum Donkey.
Exactly my point. I just want to give a shout out to all the right-wing lunatics who employ members of Theme Party. Thank you for having such crazy-ass, insane beliefs and giving money to people who stand for everything you're against. And I love ironic employment, I just have to say. In fact, I think Kiss My Fist got her job at the ironic temp agency. What were you going to say?
Can I just end it with a quote?
Yes.
From The Office Halls. I hate Julia Roberts. She's so liberal.
Oh, my God. Oh. That's
She's got a sweet ass, though.
And on that note, this is the end of Theme Party. Good night. Download the show. We'll email you. If you're listening to this in the near future or the far-flung future, this was a perfect moment of time in 2007. Thank you and good night.